Welcome back, everybody. We're back. You're back. We're all back to the Sneaks and Stats podcast, episode 65. You cannot see you, or me, anybody. No one. Stop the podcast.
You can't see me if you're listening
on Spotify. thank you for joining us. I am Julian the Statty Daddy, which means
I am Sneaker Peter Aronovich.
That is correct.
Hello, everybody.
Do not forget, if you're watching this on YouTube, like and subscribe down below. Drop us a comment. Let us know what shoes we should talk about next time. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and X. And that's it. That's all we do.
This guy's not playing anymore.
He's not playing.
But I like that he does that. Who's this guy? This is McCall. Bridges.
He goes like, yes, yeah. How did you feel about, just real quick, the Knicks celebrating that they're going to be the 2026 NBA champs after they lost to the Pacers, yeah.
And the signs had the big 2026. It's premature, bro. Like, why?
I know. I saw some comments that were like, you know, well-deserved. Like, they had a great season. They should celebrate. And I'm like, I don't think you shouldn't go relax. But I don't know if I would, celebrate immediately after the loss.
I agree.
And maybe not in that way. If you lose that close to the finals, that hurts. Mm-hmm. Maybe have like a nice team dinner. I mean, go to the club after and stuff, you know. That's what they do, but.
Yeah. Like, you had to have known that if you do something like this, it's going to get out somehow.
Yeah.
Right. And if your mentality is, I don't care, then fine.
Whatever. It looks especially goofy now that the Knicks have fired Thibodeau. It looks especially goofy.
It's definitely goofy, though, for that. And then the players are saying, too, that they were kind of surprised by the firing. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is that saying, bro? Like, this is an issue that's come up before. With these coaches, you know, we talked about Finch and the other guys. Like, what is this for you in terms of the Knicks? Like,
desperation. Like,
they're a good team.
In a way, it's a vote of confidence in the players. You know, like, I think you're saying, I think we have the players to make it to the finals and win the finals. Just not the coach. I just don't think there's a better coach available being the key word than Tom Thibodeau. They asked to, you know, talk to Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, and Chris Finch, all of which they're the teams that those coaches currently coach for, all denied their requests. I don't know. I see Mike Malone probably ending up there. He's a New York guy. He's available.
And he would go to a team that's kind of established.
That's already ready to win. Yeah. But I personally really like Thibodeau. I will say, though, that throughout the Pacers series, playoffs in general, and the Pacers series, the lack of a bench until the last few games, when he did finally start reaching into the bench, hurt them, I think. Not even from a stamina perspective. I think they kept up. I think it was just they needed a spark and they weren't getting that. Where you know every good team, like, a player will come off the bench and have a great game.
Yeah,
you know, this happens every single.
I mean, Pacers, dude,
they're having a great.
They have a couple guys that.
Yeah, they're having a great everything.
Do you think familiarity, a year under their belt, and how long has Thibodeau been there?
I think he was there for 4 or 5 seasons.
So he's been there for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair to say too that, you know, they went pretty far in this playoffs, like that familiarity, that his offense, his defense, his rotations, like that can carry on and help into the next season instead of bringing in a new guy, right?
I mean,
instead of putting in a whole new system in.
And you got to think too. I mean, I agree with you that, like, they knew what his system was. Because all of the players on the roster came after Thibodeau was already the coach. It's not like these guys have been Knicks, the main guys, with someone else at the helm. And to your point, it's like they didn't even really give it. They gave it 1 year with this group because Cat just got there. He got there this most recent offseason. So to give it just 1 year, I don't know. I think Tibbs is a really, really good coach. He did play his bench at the end, and I've heard people say that for the Knicks front office, it was too little too late. I don't know. I think it's going to be tough to find a better coach, and he'd done a lot for that team. We talked about it in the last episode, that the Knicks have been bad. Like, I think worse than I feel like I remember them being.
Yeah.
They've been bad. They were bad for a long time. They only had one or two really good years with Melo.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was mediocrity for a long time. Mm-hmm. And before Tibbs really helped turn the team around. He had one losing season there, the 21-22 season. That's it. So it's like he's been a great fit there, I think.
Yeah, this year alone was probably the most success they've seen in a while. You saw the city going kind of crazy, the fans, all the stories of all the fans in the streets and what happened to Windhorse and stuff like that. You know, they were
crazy.
They were in a frenzy because of how well they were doing, and they just didn't make it. But you know, still a successful season for Tibbs and the Knicks. You know, I don't know if something else is internally going on in there, but we'll see what happens in terms of where they go, coach search wise, and also they're in the rumors to get KD. So who knows what happens these next
KD has month quite or so. A few suitors. He's rumored for like six different teams.
Right.
Supposedly that's going to happen before the draft, even. Right? Yeah.
Something like that.
Either at the draft or before. It's going to happen really soon, apparently. So
yeah, hearing a bunch of names.
Strange situation.
We'll definitely get into that. A lot of things that happened since we've been here. We're here last.
Yeah.
We were going to try to get into a little virtual episode, but.
Here we are.
Just, you know, a couple things around the sports world. Carlos Alcaraz won his back-to-back French Open titles.
Yeah.
And that guy's only 22, bro.
I think I saw this is his fifth Grand Slam already.
Bro.
Same exact age as Nadal.
Oh, my
when
God.
When he won his fifth Grand Slam.
He's up
crazy.
There. He's gonna be up there with those.
He's
guys.
Gonna be up there for sure. He's just, I mean, he lost the first two sets, I think,
which was insane because he wasn't even playing that well to come back
and win
in a tennis match
in the second longest Roland Garros match ever.
Did you see how long it was?
It was like 5 hours and 20 minutes or something. Something insane.
No bathroom break.
That's
excuse
that's
me.
That's rough. I would at least leave one of those.
And I was thinking too, like, you know, they're sipping water.
So they're sweating it all
they're
out.
Sweating it all out, yeah.
They're sweating out their pee.
They're sweating out the pee.
That's how it works. I'm not a scientist, but that is how it works.
Yes. I went to the first Dodger and Padre game of the season, which was fantastic.
Playoff atmosphere.
Yes. So, you know, got to see both two really good teams play right behind each other in standings. So that was cool. If you guys were keeping up with the Dodgers. Jaylen Brown had arthroscopic surgery on his knee. I don't know if you saw that. I heard about that.
No, yes. I did not hear about that.
And I think I forgot that he injured that thing.
I think he had been dealing with a knee injury like around the All-Star break and sat out for a month or so and then came back for the end of the season.
Right.
So hopefully it's just like some cleanup. Hopefully he'll be fine. The Celtics are going to have a strange season without Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And they're, from what I've seen, they're looking to retool as well.
Yeah.
Maybe move Drew Holiday, which to me seems like a mistake. I think
that is a mistake for sure.
Such a good player. Looking to move Porzingis, which that's neither here nor there for me. He's been really good for them, but he's pretty injury prone. Misses a lot of games.
Yeah, if anything, they've been good without him. Even better without him.
But yeah, this is the season to do it because if they had the exact same roster this upcoming season and didn't have Jason Tatum because of his Achilles tear, they would still be a good team. But if you're Jaylen Brown, this is kind of the year probably to do it, I would say.
You know what, too? I think it finally showed to me that if Tatum can't be there and play, Jaylen cannot be that guy.
You think he can't be the guy?
I don't think he can be the number one guy on that team.
Interesting.
I've always felt that little thing where, you know, I said it, like the superstars now, there's something about them that I can't put them in the same categories as the other guys. Like, and I talk about Tatum and Brown specifically. There's just one step that I feel like they're not taking where they're in terms of super, superstar.
I get what you mean. I kind of agree on Tatum. And you see that discourse, I feel like, a lot online. You see people a lot online say that, you know, Tatum's not a real superstar. He's not a top five player. Maybe he's not a top five player. I think you could probably make that argument. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Tatum is incredibly, incredibly good. And I feel like because he's so good and the team is his, I feel like sometimes that holds Jaylen Brown back a little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
Personally, I feel like Jaylen Brown could be that guy on another team. And maybe if he's ready to go at some point this season, next season, we'll see that. But I think if you put him, if you swapped him with Donovan Mitchell,
ooh,
do you think the Cavs would still had won, you know, 67 games, 66 interesting. Games?
That is interesting.
I feel like they're somewhat comparable.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown is obviously not as good offensively.
Yeah.
And he's way better defensively. So
athletically, I think Donovan is a little more jumpy.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I like... I'm going to sound like a Jaylen Brown hater, but, you know, I obviously like Donovan Mitchell a little more. Mm-hmm. But that's actually a good flip, like, if they were to switch. I don't know if the Cleveland can repeat that with Jaylen Brown.
Interesting.
But I do think Donovan Mitchell with Tatum would be insane.
Tatum with Mitchell would be an insane combo because,
you know
that Tatum Mitchell could be kind of a more traditional ball handler.
Yeah.
Which I don't think the Celtics need. Like, this is not a trade proposal.
You heard it here first, guys. He's bringing up the first trade rumor of the summer.
My sources are telling me.
Donovan Mitchell for Jaylen Brown.
That would be an insane trade.
That would change the world, bro.
And the Celtics would definitely win. But that being said, I do think if everything between Donovan Mitchell and Jaylen Brown was swapped where, you know, Jaylen Brown was on the Jazz or just even a similar team that didn't have... I mean, the Celtics haven't been bad since Jaylen Brown got there.
Right.
Really, since Tatum got there. They had those teams that were good. Mm-hmm. And Tatum, like, you know, with Isaiah Thomas and the two Jays were a part of it.
Yeah.
So I feel like if Jaylen Brown had his own team to figure all this out and didn't have to be number two the whole time, mm-hmm. I feel like he could be a number one guy similar to what Donovan Mitchell did for the Cavs, personally.
But. And not that he minds being number two to Tatum.
I don't think so.
Because he takes the steering wheel, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he has moments where he's like, okay, this is my game. You know, I do think as like a duo, they seem to work very well.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've never seen or heard anything that Jaylen Brown wants a bigger role or his own team. Kind of how, like, when Kyrie left Cleveland, he said it was because he wanted to lead his own team.
Yeah.
I haven't seen or heard anything like that. I just think it interesting comparison.
Yeah. That's good little debate there.
That's a good one. But I like that one.
There's a series going on right now. I think it may be the series.
The NHL Finals. The Stanley Cup, baby. This is a hockey podcast.
That's
now.
That's right. What the puck?
The Stanley Cup playoffs, the finals have been very good.
Pretty intense.
But we're here to talk about the NBA Finals.
Round ball. Yes.
Netball.
And we asked this question last time, or to each other more. But if you asked me, or if you told me that the Pacers were going to be in the finals and Halliburton was going to be doing the things he's doing, I would have said you were a liar.
You are a liar. You lie.
Also,
Halliburton not even an all-star this year.
I know.
Just to throw that out there.
Bro.
That is, like... So their preseason championship odds were plus 6,600.
Oh, my God. They were, like, way down there.
Yeah. They were not supposed to be here. They haven't won the championship yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what a run that they've been on.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this has been... crazy. It's been crazy.
For those of you that don't know, Halliburton got voted by his peers most overrated player of the league. If you haven't watched any of the playoffs, he's kind of been the guy who made the important shots. A bunch of these last second shots to tie the game, to go up with a couple seconds. I think it's like 13 shots.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, including maybe the last I think of the regular season, too, or something like that?
He's had, I think, now six in the playoffs.
Yeah.
To either win or send the game to overtime.
Including that that amazing shot in game one, which was an intense game.
That, like, watching that game and watching him bring up the ball at the end of game one after knowing that he did this in Cleveland.
No double?
I think, honestly, that Milwaukee series I've, like, almost forgotten.
Oh,
like,
he hit a big shot there too, right? Yeah.
But then, like, the one in New York, come on, like, that was legendary. Game one.
The bounce?
Choked him out, even though he didn't win the game there. But he still won it, so the choke is still valid, in my opinion. Watching him bring up the ball with the last seconds, it's like your heart says, he's going to do it. You're watching this and you're like, oh my God, he's going to do it again. And then your head is like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way he could possibly do it again. And he did it. He ripped the Thunder's fans' hearts out.
And I think if you're a Pacers fan, you almost see it coming. Like, just please get a good shot off, right?
Like, which is crazy because, like, I was watching that game. You know, we can dive into the what's been going on in the games a little bit.
Yeah.
I was watching that game and Nembhard was really the one in the fourth that was playing lead ball handler. He had the ball in his hands. He was finding his spots. He was getting his shots off. It wasn't really Halliburton, which I don't think that's wrong. You know, I think Nembhard has proven that he's legit.
You want another creator too. And, you know, hats off to the Nesmiths of the world, the Nembhards, Obi Toppins, guys who weren't really talked about, who weren't, you know, necessarily guys who were really killing it in the middle of the season, who've just really carved out this role and together became a really good defensive team.
The defensive part of it
it's is insane,
crazy, because if you look at their defensive stats for the season, pretty middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like, really nothing too crazy. But now all of a sudden, it's like they're a threat on defense. I mean, the Thunder have historic, like, they had a great season, one of the best offenses and the best defenses of all time.
Yeah.
And it's just been like, where did this come from? Like, credit to Rick Carlisle, is what I keep thinking.
Credit to Jim Carrey, dude. He's been such a
good
coach.
Jim Carrey on the Pacers bench has been confusing, you know, like, he's bald now. So that's weird. I'm definitely going to have to throw up a comparison photo.
Biopic. We know who's playing him. You know.
They better.
Especially if they win.
What?
Okay, my question to you. Before I'll go after you. What has stood out to you the most in the first three games?
I think really the Thunder's, I guess maybe the Pacers' defense, but the Thunder's offense to me more, outside of game two, just, they do seem, you know, this is the first time for almost every single player on both teams that they've been in the finals.
Yeah.
And for many of them, especially the Thunder, this is like very limited playoff experience at all because they're just so young.
Really only Caruso.
Caruso and Pascal Siakam are the only players on either team with finals experience.
Yeah.
And I thought James Johnson made it with the Heat one year, but he was not on that Heat team.
Yeah.
So they look a little bit shaky out there. Like, they just look like to actually answer your question, the biggest thing has been the physicality,
yeah.
I think the Pacers have been doing that all playoffs, but that's just what happens in the playoffs is that they get away with more. The refs don't call it for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. I like it better in a way because I feel like, I don't know. It allows the game to flow more.
Yeah. I like it too. You want to see that as a fan. Like you said, it's the playoffs. This is it. This is the finals, right? I think the biggest difference to me is if TJ McConnell and Benedict Mathurin can be as effective as they were in game three the rest of the series, the Thunder are going to have a hard time. I think I agree with you with the Thunder's offense. I think Jalen Williams.
Okay.
That Jalen Williams.
Yes, that one.
He was saving them a lot with a lot of these buckets, you know, saving them from going up seven, saving them from going up nine. Cutting the breaks. Instead of a free-flowing offense that's keeping the game tight or them going up 10, they're not necessarily having like offensive explosions besides the game two, you know?
Yeah.
So in that sense, I totally agree with you.
I see, and I think I don't feel like Jalen Williams has been playing super well, at least for him. I mean, he's only shooting 39% from the field. That's pretty dreadful. 27 from three. So, and again, he's one of those guys that I feel like has been shaky. Like him and Chet. Chet had a really, really. I feel like he starts the games well and then just can't finish.
Yeah.
In game one, he was on the bench for a significant amount of time.
He looked a little off his game yesterday, taking the ball in with bad shots and then asking for the foul.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that yesterday.
I did notice that.
That's kind of off character for their offense.
Looking for the foul a lot.
A lot.
Chet in particular, which is funny because, you know, we've been complimenting Shea and his game the whole season. He's the MVP. And there's been so many people, including a friend of ours, that are like, he's just foul baiting. Like, I can't stand watching this guy. And all I can think about is, like, you guys must have not watched Prime Harden, because
that'll never.
I don't think anything will ever beat that. Maybe that's a bad standard to set Shea against. But it's like Harden would walk and just throw the ball up and be like, I have been fouled. Where at least Shea, I feel like, is looking for a shot or doing a move to besides sticking his arm in you to draw a foul. But yeah, I think I agree with you wholeheartedly that the Pacers bench has been super important.
Mm-hmm.
I think TJ McConnell has been playing the way that I want Haliburton to play.
An awesome vet.
He's been a great guy to have there. I really liked him when he was the starting point guard for the 76ers.
Same.
And Indiana has been super lucky to have him. But I do think, like, he's getting inside McConnell. And I think, you know, the Pacers offense does rely a lot of penetration and kick to the corners especially. But I feel like in game two, the Thunder kind of figured that out. And I think Haliburton needs to be looking to score in the paint more.
Yeah.
I think his jumper is going to be there. He's not Shea. You know, he's not a lot of the lead ball handlers that you see in the league. He's not Brunson. He's not just going out there looking to step back and or pull up or draw a foul. In fact, he hasn't attempted a single free throw in the series so far.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
So it doesn't bother you that he's like a, you know, 12, 9, and 6, 14.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think his stats at the end of the day matter, but I do think he needs to put more pressure on the defense, because he'll just drive and immediately kick. And I feel like in game two they read that, like the Thunder defense read that, really, really easily. Where in game three I felt like that's, you know, the Thunder were up by like 12 or 15 at one point. In the first half, and then I feel like TJ McConnell came in the second in particular, and the second and third quarter, and started getting into the paint and making layups and taking layups. Yeah. And I just think the Pacers offense is so fast and relies on those fast breaks, which has also been a struggle because OKC's defense is really good. That I feel like in their half court offense, you need to actually have a threat of scoring inside, especially when they don't really have a great diving guy.
I agree.
Besides Obi Toppin, really. Yeah. Their wings do a decent job, but it's not like, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein for the Thunder, he's always going to dive to the hoop. Chet is going to dive to the hoop. You know, they just don't have a guy that I feel like is a decent threat in the paint, really, besides McConnell right now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I would like to see Haliburton get in there and take and make some layups, because I just feel like that'll... Once you open that up, then you can get into your crazy jump passes that somehow work, and, you know, the corner threes and stuff for Mathurin and Ben Shepherd and Nembhard and all those guys. So that's what my main focus was on game three, is that I really feel like Haliburton was a little more aggressive. He took better and more shots than he did in game two, but I still really feel like they need to get inside and put pressure on the Thunder defense.
How do you
feel about the Pacers full court press?
I mean, anytime you can put pressure on that offense, I would, you know, get them off their game.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Don't let them get set, defense or offense. Anytime Shea can get himself in his, you know, his bag, you're kind of screwed in terms of like a one-on-one. I get, you know, press them as much as you can. I haven't really seen them too much get flustered too much to where they're taking bad shots. But like I said, when Chet got the ball yesterday, a lot of times he was taking it upon himself as opposed to,
yeah, you
know, and I think that is what Indiana wants, right?
Yeah, I know, you know? I agree.
And especially yesterday. So I'm sure the Thunder will get to, you know, go back to the drawing board and be like, hey, like, let's set this back up, you know, get the ball to Shea, some whatever it is to kind of slow the offense back down so you can set it back up.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like, you know, Mark Daigneault is also an amazing coach.
Yeah.
I do feel like right now he's kind of getting out-coached. I mean, Rick Carlisle is a phenomenal coach. He's one of the best coaches in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, the Thunder just have so much talent.
Yes.
Like I feel like they have the more talented players.
Mm-hmm.
But something is just not clicking. I do feel like a lot of that is on Chet, like we've been saying. He had a 20-point game yesterday, but only 5 points in the second half on 2 of 8 shooting.
Right.
That's where I felt like, where you said, you know, he's looking for the foul.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he was looking for the foul a lot in the second half. He thought he was getting fouled, and they weren't calling it.
They missed free throws, too.
Yeah, they were missing free throws.
They were doing the 1 of 2 and in times where you can cut it down, like I said, to 3 to 4, and instead of it being 3 to 4, it's 7.
Yeah, or 9, exactly.
You know? And that's enough to be a changer right there.
Easily. So I think that's what I'm just not really sure. I feel like what the Thunder should do or can do to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, I think their defense is playing really well. I think they close out as just about as best as you can, and they clog the paint just about as best as you can because
they got big bodies.
They got big bodies. They got really good length. They can really easily block a shot. I do feel like it's just kind of the offensive end where things aren't clicking right now. So it might just be, like you said, it just might just be a matter of like, hey, make your free throws, you know, easier said than done, but that's like an easy thing to just work on and focus on. Yesterday in game 3-2, especially, you know, turning the ball over was a problem.
The Thunder have kind of had that. And it didn't even translate to a lot of points on the Indiana Pacers end, which benefited the Thunder, I think, because Indiana didn't capitalize on it that much.
Yeah.
But it's still, you can't turn the ball over 15 to 20 times in a finals game.
No, you just can't do it. I think, 19 turnovers yesterday. Oof. That's way too many. I mean, the Pacers themselves had 14, which is a decent amount. I think the Thunder are gonna have to get back on defense quicker because the Pacers they found that flow in game 3 of pushing it even off a miss. You know, they weren't getting the traditional turnover fast break. They were pushing after miss after make. So I think that's gonna be something to focus on, is make sure you guys are getting back and picking up the matchups.
Yeah.
Especially because in the half court, you know, the matchups aren't exactly lining up. Like, Lou Dort, I think, is being guarded by Siakam, but then he's on the other end, Lou Dort is guarding Haliburton or Nembhard. So there's a little switch that they have to do every single time they get down the floor. So I think just making those switches quicker, being a little better.
Yeah.
I do think Hardenstein, too, he's a pretty good big man passer.
I would even say he's been great for them.
He has been really good, but I feel
like... The passing is one of his best points for them.
I felt like he was passing... He had it too much, I felt like, in the open court, where he'd get a rebound and take a few dribbles and then make the pass. I think he has that ability, but the Pacers were just kind of picking him off, I felt like, a lot yesterday.
But what do you think is mostly on the line here if either one were to win? Do you think this tarnishes, like, the like the Thunder or SGA's legacy if he doesn't win this one at all. Obviously, he's young. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they won't be able to make it back next year. Their team's still going to be good. But do you think, like, do you take off the overrated mark from Halliburton if he wins this? I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, no, I think this has been a super fun finals.
You know? Yeah, for all you guys who said it was gonna be boring and it's scripted, it's been pretty crazy.
This is clearly like every time you know I see someone's like the NBA scripted, like the NBA would not have a Midwest Finals. It wouldn't be Thunder Pacers if they scripted it.
No disrespect, but I mean you know you want to have like you know the big stars in there and you. This isn't the two teams that you expected it to be in there, but it's super entertaining
basketball. Yeah, no, it's been amazing basketball.
Very, very team oriented. There's not a lot of one-on-one ball going on, you know?
No, and I think that as far as what's on the line, it's like Shea should be like the expectation for everyone going in was that the Thunder are going to win this in like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're at the peak of that now. It's going to go to at least 6, and that would mean the Thunder have to win 3 more, you know, in a row to only have it be in 6.
There's a lot of no one thought, right? No one thought they'd be this finals. No one thought Indiana would win game 1 and 3 and be up 2-1.
I think many people didn't think that the Thunder could lose to almost anybody in the league. And the fact that they're down 2-1 and lost one at home, that's incredible. But yeah, so I do think that, you know, the Thunder have that expectation of that they were going to win. So I think if they lose, it's an embarrassment. I don't think this means they won't be back or, you know, that they were overrated the whole time. I think they're the real deal. First finals are hard, man. Like,
and they're young.
They're really young. This is some of the hardest basketball to play right now, and playing in Indiana is no joke. You know, they love their basketball there. They take it super seriously. But that team is together. Like, they have all pretty much guaranteed 2 more years of every significant player that's on that team right now.
With the opportunity to upgrade if they wanted, with the picks. Yeah. And insane.
So they're going to be fine. They've made it this far. I do think if Chet can take one more step, his defense has been pretty good. I think it still could be better, and I do think, obviously, his offense, he needs to finish. He had some bad shots, wasn't finishing at the rim the way I think he should. If he bulks up a little bit, too, go on the Giannis workout regimen, that would be trouble.
I agree, because I watched him in high school and in college, and I was like, this guy's going to be a problem.
And he had that cockiness, coming into the league. He said, I remember this clip. He's like, they asked him who the best player in the league is, and he said, me. This is before even played a single game.
Yeah.
I feel like that hasn't been there, at least not in the way he's played. Mm-hmm. He hasn't seemed as aggressive as he should be, and the foul, calling for the fouls and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he just needs to change his attitude and just really focus on making and taking good shots. That to me is where I think the help needs to come from.
I agree.
For the Thunder,
I think either team doesn't have to hang their heads whoever loses. I think at the same time both teams are kind of on the same plane, both young squads who have an opportunity to really make this a thing for the next couple of years, even at least the Eastern Conference, the conference finals for both teams. I think it would be harder, obviously, for the Pacers, just because, injuries to the teams they played. It's kind of hard to repeat what they did this year.
I think so.
But can they do it? I wouldn't count out Halliburton and those boys again next year. You know,
I do think that. I do. I kind of feel like, who knows how much longer this can last for the Thunder or for the Pacers.
There's that too.
There's a lightning in a bottle element to this.
Yes, for I agree. Sure.
And, you know, Halliburton over the last few years has been really streaky, where he'll just have a month where the shot's not falling. And,
yeah.
You know, as great of a passer and playmaker as he is, he needs the shot to fall. You have to be a scorer
in
this league. to be the lead guard on a team. You just have to be a scorer. So I would frankly be surprised if they were back in the finals next year.
Same.
Yeah. That being said, the East is just so ridiculously weak.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen with Giannis.
Celtics aren't going to have Tatum the whole year.
Celtics aren't going to be what we thought they were. I mean, I don't think even if Tatum was healthy, they were going to make it past the Knicks, which is crazy.
Right. Cleveland is supposedly thinking about shaking it up a little bit.
Yeah. They'll still be good. They'll still be, I think, in contention. But I mean, the East is kind of open without the Celtics.
For sure.
And
for sure.
We just don't. You don't know what's going to happen with the Knicks. It can all go kaboom with a new coach.
Yeah.
So you never know. I could be eating my words. I mean, they're proving everybody wrong this year. So who's to say they won't do it again next year?
Yeah. I just want to give them the credit because I was one that definitely wasn't giving it to them throughout the season. I always thought Haliburton was a good player. Didn't think he would be able to do the things he's doing right now, but. You know, shout out to him and those boys over there. How much do you think Haliburton's new shoes are affecting his game?
Supreme confidence boost, man. You get to debut your signature first model shoe. In the finals.
Yeah.
Oh. And they're nice too.
And they're nice. And you're gonna say, you know, I'm focused on this series, you know, all this, but you know, the kid in you will come out if that.
Yeah,
come you know on, what man. I'm
you're,
saying.
You're playing. Like, you're playing in the.
I get to wear my first shoes in the finals.
Puma Halley ones. Come yeah, on, dude. That's
such a cool feeling.
So
yeah.
Cool.
I can't even imagine.
I do think for the Pacers, this would be for both teams. You know, technically, I think the Thunder still have the Supersonics like records and awards and everything, yeah. Which I think is dumb. And mm-hmm. Hopefully, if a new franchise goes in Seattle, they will reabsorb all those
Yeah.
Accomplishments. But for the Pacers, this would be their first NBA championship. They have three ABA yeah. championships in 1970, 72, and 73, led mostly by George McGinnis. But I think it would be extremely... The people in Indiana and the fans of Indiana would like just be overjoyed to have this championship.
Dude.
Obviously, any team is, but... There's just something about, you know, basketball in Indiana.
Yeah.
They had, this is their first finals in 25 years, and, you know.
Larry Bird
was the coach, and Reggie was on the team. And I think, especially once Reggie retired, when he retired, that team was still good. They were in the Eastern Conference finals and lost. So I think there is still this heartbreak for that franchise of, like, we've been so close.
Going over the hump.
Yeah, we just haven't been able to get over the mountaintop.
Well, dude, they got a shot this time.
This being up 2-1 is no joke, man. That's you're two away.
So important every game, bro.
Man.
This next one, you don't want to go down 3-1 regardless of your team, right?
No, but this next game.
It's a big one tomorrow.
It's a big game no matter what because, you know, if the Thunder win, now all of a sudden it's a best of three and the Thunder have home court.
Two more games there.
Yeah. And if the Thunder lose tomorrow, gonna be a good one. Everyone, tune in.
Mm-hmm.
5:30.
ESPN or ABC.
Be there or be
us triangle.
Be two triangles, equilateral triangles put together.
I hated geometry.
Love it.
Should we talk about some kickaronis?
Let's get into some shoes now that we've done a little finals preview, recap, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Some new releases.
Very excited.
Very exciting.
I mean, so much stuff, again, coming out. Summer 2025.
Is going to break the bank.
It is already started.
It has begun.
Should I tell them about my little
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have ever it happened to you. I've read it before and have always just been like, it's never going to happen to me. Anyways, I hit on sneakers for the white cement Jordan 4s, and they came in with the box size 9, and the shoe was a size 8. I think I hit you up first right away, and yeah. I was like, bro, you won't believe this.
Oh, my God.
It's just, for me, it's a horror story just because I've never had it happen, plus I've wanted that shoe for so long.
Yeah.
Eventually I'll get it at some point, but right now it's just, you know, I moved on a little bit to what is coming up next.
Yeah.
So
still
just a little mini horror story for
just,
you guys there.
Just wild.
Just insane.
The fact that it even happened.
Right?
That they sent you the wrong size. And then I'm pissed because, I mean, they know they gave you the refund, but like a 10% discount. It's nice 10%. That they give you a discount at all, but like that's not even going to cover like the taxes
if
on
even
another
that.
Pair.
Yeah.
So I'm pissed off for you. I'm pissed at Nike. I only wear, besides right now, I only wear Adidas now.
And it didn't help.
What a nightmare.
It didn't even help that when I returned them, the guy was like, oh man, if you were, when it came yesterday, I would have had a size.
You didn't tell me that.
I was like, well, how did I know my shoe was going to come in an 8, bro? Like, I wouldn't have even needed to come in if it was the right
if
size.
If it was the right shoe, yeah. Right. God, that's awful.
So, you know, add it to the list of stuff that you hear in the news of, you know, sneaker horror stories, you know, the trains getting robbed and stuff like that. And
this is one
stuff
of
going
those.
On in the factories, right? Ugh,
so crazy.
Let's get away from the negativity, okay?
And
let's
greener pastures.
Let's get into some new releases.
They're brand spanking new.
Some of them not even out.
Not even.
No.
They're never coming out. They're but fake releases.
One of them comes out today.
Yes.
Yes.
First up, we've got a continuing line of collabs, which I think is very cool.
Yes.
Another Kobe Air Force One, and they're calling this one the Frobie.
Okay, I didn't get to ask you yet. How do you feel about those?
I think...
Uh-oh.
The inspiration is cooler than the implementation.
Okay.
Okay. Because from the laces to the kind of lighter, like almost pastel
pale
colors
yellow.
Of the... Yeah, that are the Lakers colorway. It's supposed to be that iconic picture of him with the broken wrist shooting free throws in like his pajamas.
Flannel pajamas,
yeah.
Under the Laker gear.
Which I think is what the laces are supposed to represent there.
Which I love that part, that detail.
Super cool.
But
I just, I don't know. The pale yellow just hasn't been doing it for me. Like when Nocta had their Air Force One release, they did kind of a similar colorway.
Yeah. I saw those in person. They don't look good.
That's what I'm worried about, is that I just don't feel like these are doing it for me. I wish they were just traditional Lakers purple and gold, and that probably I think
like that OG one that came out earlier this year, the white with that yellow
with
or
the
gold
snake
they
skin.
Used.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah,
I think the insole is probably going to be our favorite part of the shoe, which is the picture that you just explained. There's a huge 8 on the back that we will also post and show you guys. The lace is cool. The Kobe signature.
Thick
the sign.
Lace, too.
Thick lace. You can also see that, even in this picture, that leather is going to be buttery. But you're right. I mean, I overall, I love the shoe. I think I like it a lot. I love the lace. I think they did a good job with, you know, not just dropping another regular Kobe and adding the Pro Tro series to Air Force One.
Yeah.
So I learned that tongue has the Epic React or what is that called? The insoles have the React X foam that they put in the Kobe shoes.
Oh wow, that's cool.
So you have the Pro Tro React
the
X
tech
in an Air Force One, which
that's
is also really
super cool.
So you have a more comfortable Air Force One now, but a cool shoe to add to that.
Yeah, I think cool collector piece.
Series.
Yeah. And all the details are really cool.
Can you see
just,
it right there on the side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, I don't know.
Colorway-wise, not your thing.
I mean, and that's the main part of a shoe, right? Or at least a lifestyle shoe is like, this is what it looks like. And if it doesn't, even though all the details are there, if it doesn't look good, which for me it doesn't, I don't know. I don't know. They're not as tempting as they could be, is all I'll say.
Release date, June 24th.
For, I believe, $150.
For $150, which is the normal price for Air Force Ones. Regular Air Force Ones are $100, I believe. But with tariffs and stuff like that, we will see the increases with all these shoes. So
wild.
Cool shoe.
Next up, we have a cool re-release. The Jordan 4 Undefeated. Which, when you sent me these, I'm like, oof, these are tough, man. And with the orange laces, that's going to be a must.
Got to be the orange.
I did not realize that this was like one of the first boutique shoes to do a collab with Jordan. So
yeah.
These first came out, what, like 20 years ago, I think, from Born to Sneaker Bar Detroit?
Yeah. It's the reason they're coming out this year is to commemorate the 20-year anniversary. So they came out in 2005. It was the first collaboration between Undefeated and Nike and Jordan,
mm-hmm.
Which has turned into a huge
big deal
bond since then. Obviously, the green and black colorways to represent almost like the military, mm-hmm. which also translates to all the a lot of the shirts they wear, a lot of their merch, a lot of the collaborations with Kobe's and other shoes they've had are also very like camo related military colors. This one was huge just because 72 pairs came out 2005. There was a huge deal, almost like the one how we talked about the pigeon release in New York, where they had to, you know, shut down streets and stuff. This one was in LA. Not all 72 pairs were sold. Some were gifted to friends and family. So for 20 years, there's only been 72 pairs in existence. You've seen these go up to as much as like 25K used.
Crazy.
Yeah, 25K for anything is insane. But part of that new series of shoes that they're releasing like Grails from back in the day.
Yeah,
that a you've lot of seen. Them. Obviously the Reimagined series that you've seen. This, I wanted to ask you personally as a guy who's been into the shoes for these last couple of years. How do you feel about them bringing back all those old school Grails? From your perspective?
For me, it's great because, you know, you show me these shoes or you read about these shoes, like we've talked about a lot, the Shattered Backboards.
That's another one, yeah.
Is going to be my, like, prime example of, like, whoa, this is such a cool pair with a cool story. Like, it'll be nice to be able to get your hands on it.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's not the original release. So I don't really have a problem with it. Outside of... I think for the consumer, as a consumer, I don't have a problem with it. For Nike, you know, and Jordan, I feel like leaning on these things could be a problem. You know,
yes.
Like you want to be innovating. You know, there's so much New Balance and, you know, running shoes, Brooks and Hoka and all this stuff that like is kind of dominating what people wear. That you still want to be aggressive, I think, in making comfortable new shoes, making comfortable models of in interesting colorways of new shoes or just new stuff. So I think you just have to be careful that you're not purely basing it on, you know, this is, hey, they want something old. Because as you saw with like the reimagined UNC Jordan 1 Highs, those are still available.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think those sold in... There's no way Jordan expected those to still be on shelves
right
now. So just, you know, got to be careful. But for me, I think it's cool. I don't think it diminishes what the original shoe was or what it means for people. But maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about.
No, dude, you brought up good points. For me, I think if I was someone that owned all these old first releases, it would bother me in a sense that it devalues those first old original releases a little bit because they are back again, right? But I come from a background where I had one shoe a year on my birthday if that's what I chose.
Yeah.
You know, or it's either that or a video game or whatever it may be. So this is something where I can get them now that I'm older. And I have my own money and all this, right? So to me, I like it. In that aspect, but I like what you brought up, how if it's a desperation move to bring these back because the companies are doing well in terms of their shoes and what they're putting out in terms of their new stuff too, I think can also be a problem. But I think overall I like the idea of bringing back the old ones just so that, you know, all of us who weren't able to get it when we were young can have them again.
Well, because I feel like being a sneakerhead and like is different from being a collector, right?
Yes.
To me.
Yes.
Because, like, shoes are supposed to be worn.
Yes.
A lot of our friends are into Pokemon cards right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's way different, you know? Most people, I don't really know anyone that actually plays the Pokemon card game.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone that has a nice pair of shoes, you wear them out. You have to wear them out.
Yeah.
At least once. Mm-hmm. Like, most people are not getting a pair of shoes just to put in a box and display or just to hold them.
Right.
And hope their value goes up. Most people are getting them to wear them.
Yeah.
So I do think, to your point about the original shoes being devalued, yeah, you know, like, that's going to happen and that sucks, but I would think that for the most part, there's not too many people that are solely collectors or solely trying to resell shoes from 20 years ago. You know, it's just so hard to come by a shoe that only had 72 pairs.
Yeah.
And
you're in a rare group of people that do have the originals, right?
And I guess, regardless
of what the market says the price is, right?
My larger point being that, like, if you have these old shoes that are now coming out again, you have the original, you know, cherish what you have.
Yeah.
I would still, if I had something like that, I would still be like happy that I had those. And I don't think, as far as that personal value, anything should really be changed just because they're coming out again.
Yeah. So one version will have the Nike Air and the other will have the Jordan logo, Jumpman logo.
Okay.
But both pairs will still have the Velcro tongue that says Rare Air under.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Which was part of one of the cool details of the shoe. But in terms of the release, I don't know how that's going to work. Like, do you know if you're going to get
pick?
Do you get to pick? Or are they going to release them separately? That is yet to be seen. But we'll find out on August 28th when they release. Or maybe even we'll find out soon how they roll these out. But they will be $225, which is the normal price for a 4.
That's cool. I expect them to be a little more, but that's cool.
I would imagine the Undefeated stores will have some type of event when this comes out, and then I'm most likely on sneakers as well. So
we'll see what the summer holds, especially if I get my Shattered backboards. But this might be my first pair of fours.
They're
nice, man.
They're so nice.
The green and the texture of that, like, is it suede?
That suede is buttery.
You know how I feel about my suede.
Like, if you can see it in this picture. If it's changing colors.
Yeah, you can see it in the picture.
That is a good suede. Yeah, so
I am excited for that.
We need those.
I am also excited for our last shoe on new releases.
Oh.
And another pair that I'm like, oof, I might try and get these. If they're still available. Because they came out today as of recording, Thursday, June 12th.
The future.
The New Balance Absorb with a Z 2000, and this is the Stillwater colorway.
Yes, sir.
Came out today, June 12th, for $170. I guess I'll take a look and see if they're actually still available. But I think, I don't know. This is a new model, right?
New model.
Designed after, like, with 2000s running shoe aesthetics in mind, but
this is a new model designed by Charlotte Lee. She is... Lee is currently serving as the design manager for EMEA Speed and Energy and has played a central role in New Balance's recent design evolution. So she's in charge of all these new silhouettes that have been coming out. She's been in charge of the XC72, the WREPD Runner, the 327 model, basically all these new futuristic models that are coming out for New Balance that they are testing. They are on this whole futuristic vibe right now.
Yeah.
All these, as you can see by this, it's almost like they took an OG New Balance top and put it on the... It's
like a crazy...
Like the most futuristic bottom that you could put it on. But it works perfect.
Looks like big cushions on the bottom.
I love it, yeah. So those are like... They're calling them the Absorb Pods, I believe, which... obviously absorb the impact from when you walk or run.
With a Z, though.
Yes.
They absorb it.
Yeah. And has very similar attributes to the 1906 model as well. And is made, obviously, for running, long-distance walking. Or, you know, I would imagine when you're on a vacation, on a trip somewhere, walking for hours, this would be the shoe to wear.
Dude, it looks super comfy.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not seeing any pairs available right now. And, like, I checked Dick's, Foot Locker, and Shoe Palace.
But did they have them?
I don't know. They're not listing them. So if they did have them, they're gone. Or maybe
can you check to see how much they are on StockX?
So StockX, they already went up to 216, it looked like.
Okay, so not too bad.
Not terrible. And then I did see a pair on Flight Club for 190.
Okay.
So that's still kind of, you know, not ridiculous. But
it's a premium dollar for a premium shoe with brand new technology in it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Just a good shoe that we brought up that we thought was perfect because... you know, New Balance is obviously killing it. They are having such a huge year. They are dropping the whole gray collection for their anniversary of their company. So they're releasing the OG gray colorway.
Gray Day.
Yeah, with all the other models.
Did that happen already?
Yeah, they're slowly releasing each
model. Oh, okay. I thought it was all in one day.
Dude, so cool, man. And then all the stuff they're doing with Kith and all these other brands.
Man, I'll have to put a picture up of the sole. Look at this thing. That is crazy.
Bro. The amount of cushion in each one of those pots. Can you add, like...
The blue, I think this is a nice shade of blue.
Yes.
It's a little bit much for me. Like, I don't know if I'd wear it, but I kind of want to get my hands on a pair of these. They look so comfy.
Nah, they look amazing. Definitely a perfect pair to, you know, if you stand up a lot at work,
yes.
Whatever, your
if
job
If you're
is.
On your feet, yeah.
Yeah, if you're on your feet. The rumor is that this is a shoe that they want to continue to roll out until summer of 2026.
Okay.
And the rumored next pair is a fuchsia, like bright fuchsia colorway. So we'll keep an eye out for those as well.
Kind of taking some inspiration from their man Action Bronson,
is also killing it.
He likes his bright colorways.
Yeah.
Right now on StockX, they're asking 218 for a 9 and for me 260 and a 13.
Holy
12 and a half, $504.
Get out of here.
That's got to be a mistake.
Someone's just putting that and then...
Hoping for the best.
Yeah, see if someone wants to buy it for that price.
But yeah, this is a super cool pair. Let us know if you guys were able to get a pair or are interested in a pair because mm-hmm. we'd love to see these on foot. Let us know what you think. If they feel comfy. I mean, they look comfy. I can't see how they couldn't be. So
they're like hard.
Definitely a model to look... they suck. Trash, man. Definitely a model that I think, you know, if you're interested in comfy shoes, running shoes, lifestyle shoes, definitely a model to keep your eye on.
Yeah. I would definitely check those out.
Shall we do a cop and then maybe a drop? X-Men?
X-Men drop.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
The cop or drop.
We're always just stealing other people's theme songs.
Always.
For cop and drop.
I'm excited. It's been a while.
I couldn't find a fantastic photo for one of these, so apologies.
Okay.
But one pair of this cop or drop is currently... in your closet already.
Oh, really?
Okay. So here we go. We have two Adidas. We have the Messi Samba and a new Inter Miami Gazelle.
Okay, you don't have a good picture of that because those just kind of released rumor-wise.
So they just got announced.
Announced,
on Wednesday the 11th. I think they came out today.
Yes.
Because when I was looking online, I couldn't find anything about the shoe. Online. They go. Yeah, they're out. They're out now.
They're out already.
So they came out today. Whoo! They're sold out in every size
except
8.
Okay.
They released at 7 this morning. So also, I've noticed that I guess Adidas must have partnered with Amazon.
Because
when I was looking through Adidas's website for this shoe yesterday, a bunch of shoes that were available to ship with Amazon Prime kept popping up. So, kind of interesting.
There was a deal in place that was like a couple years ago where they're allowed to sell these brands now. That's why you could see like Nike on Amazon Prime and stuff like that now too.
It's interesting. I mean, I think it's smart that Adidas is just putting it right on their website though. Like, hey, you guys want this? We'll ship them through Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everyone's going through Amazon. So,
but yeah, this was the Blue Gazelle for Inter Miami. This is their new color scheme for this upcoming MLS season. And, you know, I know we both really liked the last pair, which was, I think this was also an Inter Miami pair, but it was, Messi has been kind of the ambassador for all of these shoes as he is an Adidas athlete. So wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, so this, the Samba, this one was actually for him specifically. I think on the other side of the stripes, it says Messi in gold.
Yeah.
And then obviously it has the... gum bottom.
Fire.
Which is fire.
Whenever I see you wear them, I'm like, oh,
these are sick. The Spezial. So,
oh, you have the Spezial.
The Spezial,
okay.
Which is a, it's like more of the handball shoe. Yeah. But it has the Inter Milan on
the
tongue.
I'll cut out my mistake.
Nah. But I have the, it has the Inter Milan logo.
Miami.
Miami. We're messing up. on
we're
the tongue.
Drunk.
But,
no, we're not.
But those are cool too.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But I love anytime they do the Messi collab with Adidas. This, the new one, reminds me a little bit of Golf Wang colorways.
Hey, they're bright.
Do you remember?
Yeah, there's.
I wouldn't even be surprised if there was one that color.
They're like cotton candy blue and pink.
Yeah, almost reminds me of Simpsons even too. Yeah. Right? But yeah. I mean, it's the Gazelle. Can't go wrong with the Gazelle.
I think the Gazelle has become one of my favorite Adidas models. Mm-hmm. But this colorway is a little much.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to go with the OG, the pink. I'm a sucker for the pink shoe.
With the gum sole too.
And the gum sole is nasty. So I'm going to go with the Samba, but I really, really love that Gazelle.
It's funny because when I was getting the picture of the Samba, I'm like, this looks like EJ's shoe, but something about it seems wrong.
You're like, I could be wrong.
I was wrong. Yeah, I think I would be there with you. I'd take the Samba too. If they threw this colorway on a Gazelle, then I'd be a little more tempted.
That's a different story, buddy. Yeah.
But yeah.
You're going with the Samba
too?
Yeah,
I'll go with the Samba as well. It's just the color combination works really well. A little more understated than the cotton candy colors of the Gazelle, but
it's very bright and out there.
I think if you were
in a good way,
yeah. If you were in Miami or like a messy, this I feel like this could work with a lot of stuff. But,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, for my taste, I'll go with the pink and black.
I would imagine too, like you wear that at the if that's your
if
game.
You wear that to the game.
Shoe. Yeah,
you are legit.
You are dripping.
You are covered in drips, drips and drabs. Real quick, we'll end with Heat on Feet. We kind of covered a lot of what was going on in these games. These photos are from Game 2, but
yeah.
I think they pretty much all wore the same shoes for Game 3.
Yeah.
First up, wanted to highlight the Converse Shea 001 in the Massey Blue colorway, which is named for his brother. And there are design elements
sick
with his wife, with Shea's wife, child, and mother all in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So cool, you know, a cool family pair. How do you feel about these compared to the first colorway that we saw, the kind of brown colorway of the Shea 01 we saw?
I like this one better.
I like this one a lot better too.
I like
still kind of a funky shoe. But.
It's a little bit of a bulky shoe. I kind of reminds me if your feet were wearing a bomber jacket or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The zipper reminds me of the Gary Payton's shoes, so that's kind
of.
Wow,
I didn't even notice that was an actual zipper. I thought it was
yeah, right?
A unique design choice.
Also, wow. The way he's wearing them, do you tie them during the game?
Or? No. He does not.
No. He just does it.
They just come off. It's just, not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm not going to sprain my ankle. But I like them. I like the design. I think I like that the sole kind of wraps around. Up
yeah,
at the top.
It's like tough to tell at the toe. I think too. It's tough to tell like where the sole ends
and
the toe box begins.
But it's one of those. Not that it matters, but it's one of those basketball shoes that is strictly you're gonna wear them basketball only.
Yeah.
Like you're not gonna really. I know he's said before. Oh, this is all multi-purpose shoe. You gotta say that about your promotions and stuff, you know. But for me personally, I think it's a good shoe. I would definitely ball in them. I think. I would tie them and then zip them up.
Okay.
But I mean,
double.
If I was swagging out, I'll tie it and maybe leave the zipper down. And now
I wonder if we can see in that other photo.
See, they're all
zipped up. Yeah, he's locked in.
Good for you, man. But I like the logo on the tongue.
The logo's okay. The shoe itself, I feel like, just doesn't look very protective.
Yeah,
like nothing about it.
It's very open here.
Secure.
Ankle very exposed.
It's also interesting that both of the colorways we've seen on the court have been monochromatic.
Yes.
There's not been any
multicolor
design elements, I would say. Not my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it's not my favorite basketball shoe either, but I do like them. Shea, as you know, is a very big person in style.
Yes.
So he had a big influence on this, so you... Obviously, he wanted them to be this way. But it's also cool to see the different things that athletes want in their shoes. You know, we've spoken about it how many times on this podcast yeah. about, you know, this player likes this player likes that, and it's cool to see what Shea likes.
Next up, we got the guy that was on the other half of that picture, Andrew Nemhard.
I was just gonna say, what shoe was that?
This is the. So I was like, what is this? This is a Book One, which it didn't even look like a Book really? One.
Oh, you know why? The material.
Yeah, super weird looking. It looks way bulkier too.
Yeah.
This is a player edition. This is the only kind of close up I could find.
Those are crazy.
Unfortunately,
bro.
Not on foot. It's the Nike Book One, the EYBL, which is...
Oh, it's a tournament.
Yeah, yeah, one of the tournaments. And then it's MSCO. I don't know what that means.
That one, I don't know.
That has something to do with Nemhard or, I was like, Moscow?
MSRP?
And then this, yeah, this is his PE. Here's kind of a better look at them on foot.
They do not look like a book right there.
No.
And a book is very, like, you can know it's a book.
I was really confused when I saw these. I was like... What are these?
Well, they are kind of getting warped from him. Yeah. Making them, but
even, I mean, even
there, here, you could tell.
Yeah. Usually I can tell by the toe box, but even here, I'm like, I feel like this looks like a knockoff.
It does look like, yeah, it does look like a knockoff. But, it, you know, not a big fan of the colorway. I think the silver swoosh is kind of cool, but I wonder why. What was the thinking behind the colorway?
I guess it kind of matches the Pacers blue, but mm-hmm. I guess it must have matched the tournament, the EYBL tournament, too.
Maybe that was, like, the theme of this year's tournament or something.
Yeah, so...
Because there's a lot of EYBL shoes, themed shoes that have come out. There's Kobe's, LeBron's.
Yeah, I think a KD 17 or 18.
There's a KD, yeah. Every player has their own EYBL colorway, I think. But so this is a Nemhard... PE?
It's a PE, yeah.
So only for him, really.
There wasn't too much information that I could find on it. The NBA Kicks account, which is run by the NBA, shouted it out, but they didn't really have any information about it. Mm-hmm. So,
but cool in terms of the rarity.
Very rare. He's just been balling out too, so I wanted.
Yeah, I was just gonna say shout out to him. He's been killing it.
There is somehow a PE. There's a few sizes available on. Flight Club says they're $700.
Oh my god,
$699 plus. So it doesn't even actually tell you. I guess that's what they're thinking. But there's a few different sizes, which I thought was interesting. So maybe they gave them out at the tournament. Their Flight Club has a 6.5, an 11, a 12.5, and a 13.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is when this shoe was given out to whatever members of the EYBL tournament, these people were just. Maybe give it away, and then those people sold it. Or
yeah,
and this is how these consignment stores end up with them. You know what I mean? This is how StockX gets the random PEs too, is because these people don't just want to make money off of it, right?
Hardwood Heat, which I haven't really heard of, says that less than 500. There was said to be less than 500 pairs made, yes. But it's a PE, so I would think less than 500.
Yeah, so my guess is that these were gifted out somehow. Where or one store.
There are
Adam or whatever
a few available on like eBay, Go, you know, all the different reseller places. So, yeah,
you probably just missed out on like a small release.
Release,
yeah.
Maybe probably a giveaway for the tournament.
That or, too, like know, every player got one.
Something
for sure.
to do with maybe a Nemhard camp or something like that.
That could be it too, for sure.
But yeah, I just wanted to shout him out. I feel like he's been having a great. Finals so far.
Playoff run in general.
But yeah, tough to find information on this shoe. But last up, we have another shoe we mentioned earlier in the show. And the bad man himself, Tyrese Haliburton.
And we like this one.
In the Puma Halley 1.
Mm-hmm.
In this kind of cool, diffused pink, peach almost colorway.
Yeah.
Here's a close-up of them on foot. You can get kind of a better detail of all the textures.
Yes.
I love how they fit in the Puma logo.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even see that. What a good way to add up the Puma, like their branding on there.
Especially for being so big and like kind of complicated compared to like just a check or, you know, three stripes.
Yes. Or like the typical small Puma that they usually play.
Yeah.
You know, like good to see them added in there somewhere.
Look cool though. I really like I feel like the sole and midsole looks pretty thick. I kind of like this. It's almost like webbing on the heel or on the body there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel. I don't know. These look really good to me.
We love that. Us in that colorway.
Yeah, that's true.
We're suckers for that. This reminds me almost of like a Hyper Dunk, almost like a Nike basketball shoe. I love the stitching in the front. The contrast with a little bit of gray at the toe. The sole is awesome. I think the sole is one of my favorite parts. I like I said, the Puma. It reminds me of almost like I told you on the phone. It reminds me of like a hiking shoe almost. Just this the top part.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Almost like an Air Terra, Nike Air Terra. But really good design. I want to know. I didn't get a chance to look into it too much, but I want to know how much influence he had in the design of the shoe. And if he had any, like his own, what his input was on what he wanted to come out.
Yeah, we'll have to get some more information on that. I know, I mean, I don't really see it, but I know he wore a lot of Kobe's earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So
I'm he's sure a Kobe 5 guy. He loved the 5.
I'm sure that had influence. Here's one more kind of official look at it too, with a better look at his logo and the toe box too.
Fire.
I feel like it was tough to see in that other photo, but I like that toe box, and look at the webbing on the
awesome
the tongue. That's very cool touch.
The ventilation is fire.
Very it's I feel like it's kind of like a more accessible version of one of the Melo shoes.
Yes,
those always have like crazy splatters and
yes
kind of almost webbing type stuff, where this is kind of just more straight up webbing looking material. So
yeah,
I thought this was a cool, very cool pair.
Really nice. I like the lace, the thicker lace, and also
the thicker lace is a cool touch.
The white midsole reminds me a little bit, even a little bit, of like a Foamposite.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool. It's just so many different, like you said, the textures, so many different textures, layers, different materials on there.
Lots of layers.
Did you say how you felt about his logo yet?
It's fine.
It's very like Space Odyssey type of.
Or it looks like alien text.
Bubbly. Yeah, alien.
I almost wonder. It almost works upside down the same way that it does,
like maybe
right side up, but it not quite.
Like I'm making my own version. Like that's the T, right?
That's the T,
and then
that's
this is lowercase H,
I guess. And there's two basketballs.
Only one allowed.
No, not for him.
But great shoe. I love it.
Yeah, super cool shoe.
I would ball you up in it.
No, you wouldn't, because I was about to say I would D you down.
Hey, yo.
Pause.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Pause.
But yeah, that's it. Who do you got? Who's taking home Larry?
Dang.
Luol Deng?
Luol Deng's going to take it with...
He's going to steal it.
Yeah. I think the Thunder come back and win it.
Really? 7?
I think I'm going to be wrong. But I can't count them out. I'm going to go with the Thunder.
In 7? Yeah.
It's hard to count out Pacers, and we're still doing it.
I also think I agree with Thunder in 7. I kind of find myself rooting for the Pacers.
Yeah.
I guess because they're the underdog.
Yes, I agree.
But yeah, I do think... I think the Thunder are just going to settle down, lock in, and, I mean, once they play their brand of basketball, even with a defense that has been as good as the Pacers, which has been, I think, second best defensive rating in the playoffs so far, I think the Thunder are just going to be too much to overcome. So we shall see. Let us know.
Drop a comment. Let us know who you guys think is going to make it out. Want to play a quick game real quick? Stump the Statty Daddy.
Do you want to play a game?
What's that guy's name? What's his name? The clown? What's his name?
He rides a bike.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jigsaw.
Very good. That was the first question.
I did it.
Stump the Statty Daddy, guys. Play along with who's ever in your room.
Play with your daddy.
Yeah. this first stat is surprising a little bit. Most games fouled out.
Oh, that's a good one.
Who you got?
Ooh.
And I don't think you'll believe it, to be honest. That's how surprised I was.
Most games fouled out. That's
a great stat. Let me give you a clue, just because there's millions of thousands of
players. My first thought is Rodman.
It's not Rodman.
It's not Rodman.
But okay. Let me give you a clue. Think of players that played that had long careers.
I mean, that makes sense.
Because that would, yeah, right?
Robert Parrish? He's got the longest.
You're getting a little closer. You're getting a little closer.
Okay. My next guess was Zeebo, but I guess probably not Zeebo.
I love Zeebo, bro.
He fouled out a lot.
He did foul out a lot, but I love Zeebo.
Okay, long careers.
Okay, this guy played No, but he played on the same team as this guy. Not at the same time, but they played on the same team. This guy, the guy I'm talking about, played for two teams.
Two teams only? Yes. Wow.
He also has the record for...
Dick Barnett.
He also has the... No. He has the record for most fouls ever with 4,657.
I feel like I should definitely know this. Karl Malone?
No. One last chance.
Yeah, this is a good stump.
He's a center.
Yes, that makes sense. Most foul outs ever. Moses Malone.
No.
Dang.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wow.
With 155 games. Can you imagine that? He fouled out 155 times?
I guess in that career, that's actually not that many games per year. But that's the most true. Fouls ever percentage. Is... That's impressive.
4,600 fouls is a shitload of fouls.
I'm gonna find out who has the most fouls per game for their whole career.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Speaking of that guy, he got banned. I don't know if you saw that.
Banned from where?
From the league
that he's in.
I can't say
Puerto Rican
on
league?
Camera what he did. Yeah.
I have not heard.
You didn't
about
hear
this.
About that?
I'm gonna have to look this up.
It is
censored.
I was like, is this real? Okay. Anyways, second stat. Most free throws ever.
Karl Malone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Karl Malone. 9,787. That's 9,000 points alone free throws.
You wanna hear a fun stat that I heard the other day?
Okay.
Shaq has made over 1,000 more free throws than Steph Curry.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Steph isn't really getting fouled that much, right?
If he's shooting. You would think with Shaq's percentage.
That's also true. That's also true. I make the important ones.
He made a lot, I guess.
I make the important ones.
That's a pretty good Shaq, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Right? Crazy.
That's insane, bro. I did not know that. This is a really cool one that I found. The team with the most consecutive playoff appearances. There's two.
The San Antonio Spurs.
Very good.
And the Boston Celtics.
Not the Boston Celtics. You got the first one.
In those years of 13 championships or whatever?
Yeah, right?
That's crazy. Spurs it, and...
Spurs from... It was the Spurs from 98
to
the COVID year, 2020.
Oh, really? Wow.
With 22 seasons straight going to the playoffs. Insane.
Wow.
And then this other team, they weren't what they were called when they had the streak. But,
oh, interesting.
But... you know the team now, obviously.
The Supersonics.
No.
What teams have changed names?
A lot.
Yeah. The Hornets? No.
No.
They're not good.
No. 22 years in a row? No way.
22 years of playoffs.
22 years, no playoffs, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Think East Coast?
22 straight years of playoff appearances.
Yeah, from 1950 to 1971.
Not the Celtics.
No.
What? The Pistons?
No.
The Hawks?
No. They're close, though. They were on the list.
Those are all teams that have, I think, kind of changed their names. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I should know this.
The Philadelphia 76ers, but they were called the Syracuse Nationals.
The Nats.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
22 seasons? Stump me again. It's pretty ridiculous, right?
That's actually a great stat.
Like the
Spurs did not know that.
Doing it
recently? I think
recently?
Of the Spurs.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't believe the Celtics aren't. They must have been, so close.
Well, they have all the rings, so screw them.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I 100% agree.
And since we're in the finals, I'm ending this one with a final stat before we go. Most finals points by an NBA player.
LeBron James.
Incorrect.
Oh,
he's not there yet.
What?
He's not. I was surprised too. Well, no, this one makes a lot of sense. But I thought it was him.
How
too.
Could it not be LeBron?
It's not. It's not him. But he's the person in front of him is up by like 100-something points.
I feel like it should be LeBron points. Almost easily because
he's there 10 times.
Yeah.
But this, oh, I don't want to give it away.
Is it?
I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give
it's
it away.
It's not MJ.
No.
Is it Wilt?
It's not Wilt. Well, Wilt was only in how many?
He was only finals? In like 3 or 4. Oh, right. Yeah, 3 or 4 because he had to go up against the Celtics.
But you're getting close. You're getting very like
Havlicek?
Like ridiculously close. No. Think of a Wilt's teammate.
A Wilt team? Jerry West.
Wow. Look at this. Listen to this, bro.
That's nuts.
1,679 points, and LeBron has 1,562. And then the next person wow. after that is Kareem with 1,317 points. Whoa.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that insane? People forget, bro. Jerry West was a monster, dude.
That is crazy to put it in that perspective, though, considering LeBron went to 10 straight.
9 straight, I think, right?
I think 10. Because 2011.
Mm-hmm.
2012. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Cavs again.
Oh, no, but Lakers, he didn't make it right away.
18. Yeah, I guess only 8 straight?
8 or 9.
8 or 9?
9. 8 or 9, I think.
Because not 19.
Regardless, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then to be there 10 times, I think it's only him.
It's got to be him, right?
Him and Jerry West. That's it.
That is insane.
And to think you have 1,600 points in just the finals only.
That's like a full what? Season. That's like a full season of yeah. finals games.
Insane. But, yeah, that's it for Stump the Statty, bro.
Well, you stumped me
a couple hard. Times.
You stumped me real hard. So thank you.
So the ultimate test at the end of this podcast, like when we're old, I'm going to test you with all of them.
Every Stump the Statty question? It's going to be like a full test.
It's going to be like the
multiple choice?
SATs, yeah. But thank you guys for watching.
And we back.
Thank you guys for... being patient with us, we are finally back, and we do have a lot of content coming out for you on our social media. Stay tuned for videos on our YouTube as well. We are trying to get a little better at that, and we will catch you on the next time on the flippity and the floppity. Peace out. You can't see me there.
Nope.
He's like, initiating the offense, right?
I guess we should talk about this on the show.
We should maybe start the show.
It's recorded. I'll cut it. I'll just slice it in.
Cut it in.
We'll be like mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, Halliburton is actually...
He's pretty good.
He